Hosea chapter 7. Go back to verse 1. Verse 1 of Hosea chapter 7. It says this: when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. And they commit falsehood, and the thief comes in, and the troop of robbers spoils out. Many times in Scripture, and I'm going to point out something with this first verse. Many times in Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, it talks about how God would call out to Israel. You might say, well, what would he call out? He'd call out to them to come to him. He'd say, come with all of your hearts. Come, don't be moved by other things or other gods or other idols, but come unto me. And many times he would call out to them, wanting to what? Gather them, the Israelites, because that's what God had chosen, the Israelite people. And they were supposed to carry the word of God about Jesus Christ to the whole entire world. That was their responsibility. He chose them and said, these are my people. They will carry the word of God around the world for me. And we know on a whole they rejected him. But in the Old Testament and even parts of the New, where it says that he would try to gather them, he would try to woo them back by loving them and taking care of them and protecting them and being with them and supplying for them. But many times, or most of the times, we see that what? They didn't come to him. That they would turn to idols. They would turn to other gods. And they would turn to things that God did not want them to turn to. And because they turned to other things, that the enemy would have a right and would come and bring destruction upon them. And we see how many battles they lost, and how the women and the children were destroyed, and the men also were destroyed because they didn't come to him. And it says in the first part of that scripture, when I would have healed Israel. You know what that means? That he longed in his heart to heal them. You know why they needed healing? Because they were diseased. They were full of idolatry. They were serving other gods. And it says he longed in his heart to heal Israel. Now, how many times do we see Israel going away from God and God trying to bring them back unto himself? How he wanted to heal them. This refers to the fact that the Lord not only wanted and desired to heal Israel, but eagerly searched for a way to do so. Gotcha. He eagerly searched for a way to heal them. That's just like our God today towards us. He seeks eagerly. That means the Holy Spirit is looking constantly in our hearts, looking constantly in our lives, eagerly searching how he could draw us back closer to him to bring healing in our hearts. Contrary to popular things in the world, we are a desperate people. In Revelation, God bless you. That's right. Amen. In Revelation chapter 3, it says that the church is desolate, naked, and wretched. It says even in Scripture that evil is bound in the heart of a person. Now, we know it's only God that can come in and change that. But you see, God has looked eagerly for a way to draw us closer to him so he can heal parts and areas of our hearts and our lives that we desperately need healing from him. Desperately. We are a needy people towards our God. He wanted to heal them, but they would get deeper and deeper into idol worship. Now, that's one thing God hates, people. I'll be honest with you. God hated when the Israelites would turn. Remember when they built a golden calf? God got upset when Moses came down. God was upset, people. They built this golden calf out of all the riches that God gave them from the Egyptians. That's okay. That's okay. I don't want this to be a funeral. We need life in this place. We need life. Children bring life. But the golden calf was built out of the riches of our God. And even we see here when he calls them and he says, I've wanted to heal you, Israel. It talks about Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim. That tribe instituted idol worship. They brought it into the capital of Samaria, which we read about. And they practiced stealing, lying, idolatry, all those things. When God wanted to heal, often, as he proceeded to heal Israel, the evils broke out afresh. The more God drew them to heal them, the worse Israel got in idol worship. And they even thought of fresh and anew things from the pit of hell to do that would bring evil upon their lives, rejecting their God, rejecting him. Now, you might say, my God, why did God patiently try to draw them continually, because he loves them. He loves them. And he knows the end result. Without receiving Christ, we know the end result is hell, and that's not a good place. But you know, even after we have received Christ as our Lord and Savior, Christ is still working in us to draw him closer to him. And we know he works on the outside, but that's not the major part, people. That's not the number one thing with God. The number one thing with God is working on the inside of each and every one of our hearts. Getting rid of idols that we put before him. Getting rid of evil things that we think are the most precious things in the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with liking things and maybe even adoring some things. But when it comes first before God, then God has a problem with it. And when God has a problem with something in our hearts and lives, he seeks to draw us closer, to help us to get rid of that thing and to draw us closer to him. It all boils down to the condition of a man's heart. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13, because you know, the condition of the Israelites' hearts was that all they wanted to do was evil, and they never would turn to him. I know we desire God. We desire God. I know that. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't desire God. I know that. You know, hey, we could be fishing, we could be cooking, we could be doing all kinds of things. But the Word of God says to come together, and don't you know God knows better than what we know? He says to come together, to gather together, to rub shoulders with one another, to gain strength for that spirit man on the inside. Because he knows that as we gather together, we worship him, the Spirit of God comes into a place and touches each and every one of us and strengthens us on the inside and helps us to accomplish and do what God wants us to do that week. And a lot of times, as we're under the unction or the power of the presence of God, God will speak things to our hearts and speak things to our souls and show us things. That's how God desires to do those things. But in Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 1, starting with verse 1. You see, the condition of our hearts, the conditions of our hearts is what God is interested in. Look at verse 1. It says, the same day when Jesus went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in the parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed some seeds, talking about the word of God being sown in our hearts, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, for they had not much earth. For with they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here we see, as we look at these scriptures, talking about the different soils of a person's heart. Now, honestly, probably all three of these things can be in each and every one of our hearts. Honestly. Because probably we can look at areas of our hearts and we know there's some hard places in our hearts, huh? I know that. You say, how do you know that? Because I know the makeup of humankind. I know it. And we might think, well, you know, we're doing pretty good today, and you might be doing pretty good today, and that's great. But something's going to happen tomorrow which will make maybe an area of your heart a little hard. See, that's why God says come together. Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit touches our hearts and makes it soft and pliable before Him. That's why He wants us to come together, to give homage unto Him, to worship Him. And so the Spirit of God could be shed abroad in our hearts and lives, so He can show, or He can give out His Holy Spirit unto us, and it can touch every area of our hearts and lives so that it can become pliable and not hard towards Him. The first ground that He talks about is being hard before God, or a hard ground. As we look at the church body today, we quickly discover that few professing Christians are really living productive lives. Everywhere we look, we find people who have been exposed to the Bible and its teaching, but their lives have not been changed by it. Why not? Many have begun well in the Christian life, but for no reason they have failed to mature in the faith as their growth was stunted. In this parable, we see Jesus compares our lives or our hearts to various types of ground on which seed is sown. From this parable, we learn that the condition must be right for God's word to produce a harvest in our lives. So we must properly cultivate our hearts to ensure that the right conditions are present. Before we look at the different parts, has everybody planted a garden here of some kind? I mean, you know, some of us have been successful. Some of us have not been. But it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work to have the fruit grow and us enjoy it. But it takes a lot of work on that ground, huh? I mean, it really takes a lot of work. First, you know, you have to plow up that ground. And probably that might be one of the hardest things, you know, plowing up that ground so that when you plant the plant, that the roots can grow deep within the soil so that it could produce and get the water and the nutrients that it needs so it could produce a good fruit for us and not die. You know, that's just like our hearts, people. It said some seed fell on the path around the farmer's field. And we know the path was packed down hard because all the people walked on it. Hard ground. We need a plow to plow through the field of our hearts, people. We need it. You might say, Pastor, do you need it? I need it. Just like anyone else. We need the plow of the Spirit of God to come into that area of our lives and plow the ground. Sometimes because of hurts and because of things that are said or done unto us, that part of our heart, and you know, I'm talking about the spirit man, not the actual heart, the spirit man where God lives, where God is, that area becomes hard. And when an area becomes hard, you know, let's say, you know, they were talking about California and they were saying how much of a drought that they're in. I mean, severe drought. I mean, they're rationing water. I mean, you know, severe drought. I mean, the ground is cracking. There's no water. It's hard. I mean, you know, streams are drying up. Lakes are drying up. I mean, it's just, it's bad. And about a week or two ago, I remember they said that a storm was coming. And they were worried. And I understand. They were worried that a lot of rain was coming, but too much rain at one time. And it was a lot of rain. It was too much rain. And because it had been in a drought for so many years, for so long, that when that rain fell down, it just fell upon hard ground and went off. It didn't seep into the ground. It didn't go in and give water to the earth on the inside. The surface got wet, but a few inches down there was nothing. And they were talking about because there was so much rain and runoff that they even had some mudslides. It was causing all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems. That's just like our hearts, people. God is constantly throwing out the seed of His Word unto us. Every day, throwing out the seed of His Word. You might say, well, what do you mean? The seed of Him speaking to us by the Holy Spirit, telling us things, speaking to our hearts. Constantly, as we read the Word of God and as we consume that Word, that's the seed of God's Word being thrown into our hearts. And we decide what kind of condition our hearts may be in. And like I said earlier, probably all three of the conditions of our hearts. It's all parts. Some parts are hard. Some parts are thorny with a lot of weeds. Some parts are stony. But some parts are being fertile and is growing great fruit. All four parts are there. What we need to try to get to is a place where God can penetrate the first part. That's that hard heart before God. And sometimes, honestly, we may not even realize that our hearts have been hardened by things. Hardened by just things in our lives. Hardened by things that we may go through. Hardened by decisions we have to make and we don't want to make them. Just hardened, and we become hard, and it's like, no, God, no. And the Spirit of God just keeps working and saying, throwing out His seed, throwing out His seed, throwing out the seed of His Word. And any time that seed is thrown on the hard parts or the hard areas of our lives, that seed is just there, but it's being lost. Because in Scripture it says that as the seed, the farmer throws out the seed, some goes on that path of where people have stomped and walked on for so long that it's so hard that the Word of God or the seed cannot penetrate the earth, and where bears, lions, tigers, and bears. Yeah, you know. You never know, a bear may come. No. It says that old Slewfoot takes on the form of many things. It's like he's like a lion, but he's not a lion. Tries to make himself look good, but he's not. But it says that birds come and other things come and eat the seed, and there's no seed there. So we got to let the Spirit of the living God soften the areas of our hearts. And look, I know it's not easy. It's not. Honestly, there's some areas I don't want to talk about. Huh? And I know you too. You can say yes, because I know. We all know. There's some areas we don't want God to go in. It's like we put a keep out sign on the outside of that door. And we said, Lord, You keep out of this place. You can have all these other places, and I'll give it to you, but you keep out of this place. not realizing if we take that sign down and we let God walk in, that He'll bring life to that area of our hearts. And it will break that hard heart. Realizing what we really need is what we're rejecting. But we can turn our hearts and say, Father, forgive me. And Lord God, I'm open unto You this day. I'm open unto You this day. The remedy is to allow the farmer to take a plow and plow the field. And we know the plow breaks the ground so that the seed from the farmer can penetrate the ground. We need to allow God to plow the soil of our hearts so God's Word can enter and grow. We need to prepare our hearts to receive God's Word. We need to prepare our hearts to receive God's Word. We need to prepare our hearts to receive God's Word. It's time to allow God to plow our hearts and soul. Plowing is not always a pleasant experience, and I know that. How hard is it to have to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry? Oh. You'd rather God tell you to climb a mountain. I know it. Hey, look, Lord, you don't speak to me about that. I mean, I know it. You'd rather God tell you to do some big, big thing. But to have to go to somebody and whoever, you know, and say, I'm sorry. But we don't realize in saying it, I'm sorry, you're saying, I messed up. And you're saying, God, You know what's best. And then the Holy Spirit comes and rains down a slow mist of rain upon that area of our hearts. And it penetrates the soil. And it goes deep within the heart. And then the Holy Spirit starts to plow. And it's like, oh, it may hurt a little bit. It may feel uncomfortable. But you know what? We got to get things right. And as He's plowing, He finishes. The farmer, God, takes His Word and throws it gently upon that area of our lives. And it may take a month or so, but all of a sudden, we see fruit, or we see the plant from that seed starting to grow. It has been penetrated by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want. Any area, unforgiveness, all areas of our lives. I know some of you have had a hard childhood. Some of you had great childhoods. I mean, you know. But it takes God to bring healing and help to us. To heal those areas of our lives so that we're not hard before Him. That when He speaks to us, we listen and we obey. God needs to break up the hardness of our hearts. And it might hurt a little, but the results are well worth it. Also, it talks about another area or another type of soil where it says that we need to put roots down. It says that as the farmer would throw the seed, that it landed upon some shallow soil ground. And I, you know, I thought of this and I said, well, okay. But what the problem was is that they had a few inches of soil and underneath the soil was rocks. And the seed penetrated the few inches of soil and started to grow, but the roots couldn't grow because of the hard rocks or the rocks that were there. And so you see, we need to grow roots. God is plowing up so that the roots can grow on the inside of us. We need the roots because that brings stability. You know, I know it says that the sun came out and scorched the plant. You know what happened? That's trials that come up in our lives. And who has not been through a trial of some kind? Please raise your hand so we can adore you. And we can praise you and honor you. You know, we'll give it to you. And then we'll cast out that spirit of lying because that's not truth. We've all gone through some things. I mean, you know, some things harder than others. But look, when you're going through it, you're going through it. It's hard. It's hard when depression comes or oppression from the evil spirits. It's hard when the things of the world are coming at you. It's hard maybe when there's not enough money to pay this or that. It's hard to think, you know, when things are happening in families, you know. It's hard when somebody passes away, even though they know God. It's hard. It's hard. Even though we know heaven and we know that with God, it's still hard. It's still hard to come by because we miss them and God knows we miss them. And God said He would be there to comfort us. But you see, no roots, and that's the problem. The sun came up, the storms of life come up, it starts to scorch that plant, but there's no roots. We got to grow roots. You might say, Pastor Joe, how can I grow some roots? Well, buddy, number one thing, get to church. Get to church. You know, now I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes we have to miss or whatever. You know, I'm not. But get to church because God says to gather together. It brings a protection. It brings a protection from the evil one. God has set up the local church for you and I to have the pastor, to have that guidance. See, you need me. I don't say it arrogantly. Please don't. I don't want a nasty look or anything like that. No, I love you, God. You need me as your pastor. But also this, it's twofold. I need you. You need us as your pastors to lead you and guide you, to have God move in your heart as we pray earnestly for you and seek God for you, asking God to move on your behalf, asking God to tear down things in your heart. But also, I need you to help us, to accomplish things, to pray with us, to pray for us, to believe with us. See, I want men and women of faith that will believe God for anything. Faith produces faith. Doubt produces doubt. Faith produces faith. I pray this. I said, Lord, I want men and women in this church that are full of faith to believe you for anything. Anything you tell me, Lord, that we will believe you for it and we will act upon that word, Lord God. That we will do it. Can you imagine when God spoke to Moses and he said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. How do you think he felt? The murderer, only a little shepherd now, murdered a man. And he goes up and he says, let my people go. And they said, who sent you? And he already asked God that question because he said, you tell them the I Am has sent you. And he said, the I Am sent me. And what happened? For 9 plagues, it got worse for the Israelites. Huh? I mean, it got worse. But on that 10th plague, the blood of Jesus came about and liberated everyone. It was a symbol of the blood of Jesus on the doorpost and the lintel. And they were delivered. And they were rich. And they saw the favor of God and the anointing of God and the presence of God as they marched out of that place. Millions of people. God leading them by a cloud during the day in a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm, to protect them from the sun during the day. Can you imagine a God that would think of everything for His people? That's the kind of God we serve. That when trials come up, we just dig deeper and let that root grow. And we take out those stones. We say, Lord, no way, no way will I let the stones of life fill my heart. But this day, Lord, you can have full reign in my heart and in my life. And I will let you do what you want to do, Lord. And let the roots of God's word. Number one, get to church. Get to church. Number 2, read your Bible. Read it. And let me tell you, you won't understand it all. There's no way. An infinite God to a mortal human. But we'll get glimpses of what He wants. We'll get glimpses of what He has for us. And as you read the Word of God, it will consume you and it will bring seed to that heart. And the rocks will be thrown out by the Spirit of God. And roots will grow. And when the storms of life come, and when the sun starts to shine and it beats down upon that plant, it will still stand up strong. It may get a little withered. It may get a little bent. But it's still there. Because the roots is deep within the soil of their hearts. If the roots are deep, the plant will survive. And its very survival proves that it is a strong, healthy plant. I know every one of us has gone through a lot of trials, huh? You know what that proves to us and the enemy? That we are a strong, healthy plant. Never thought of that, huh? You may say, well, trials keep coming. I know. It seems like you get over one thing, something else comes in, huh? Something else comes up. You're saying, Lord, just let me be free a little while here. You know, you just want to be free. But I tell you what, that's what builds our faith. If trials didn't come, let me tell you this. If trials didn't come, our faith would be this small. But we're saying, we have enough faith, Lord. We have enough. We have enough. But as trials come and things come our way, we depend upon God. He builds our faith. It deepens our relationship with Him. We rely upon Him. We're saying, Lord, no matter what you want, I'll do it, Lord. We can stand up and we can believe like never before. See, your faith, my faith, grows for the things of God. See, there's things that I could believe for 4 years ago when we started this church. There are some things I couldn't believe for that I can believe for today. And I know there are certain years ago, there were things you couldn't believe God for, but today you can. Because of the faith that has grown in your heart to believe God no matter what. And it seems like the storms of life, the heat is on. The heat is on. But oh, our God on the inside is a mighty deliverer. And He's delivering us from every one of them. And we look back and we say, my God, look what you have done. Praise God. And we say, Lord, I believe you more than ever before. Look, God can get you out of debt. God can give you health. God can do mighty exploits in your heart and life that we never thought possible. Just letting God work that stony heart. Also, the weeds. The weeds of life come in. And it tries to choke out the things of God. The number one thing that the devil will try to do is with money and wealth. He'll try to have us pursue that more than anything else. Now, before we get a little further here, there's nothing wrong with having a nice home, you know. There's nothing wrong with air conditioning and indoor plumbing. There's nothing wrong with a nice place. There's nothing wrong with driving a new vehicle, huh, Otis? Amen. Serve a Chevrolet. You need a new vehicle? Go talk to them. There's nothing wrong with those things. But let me tell you, when that's what we pursue, the weeds of life choke out the things of God. You know, I was reading an article And it was talking about six executives making six figures every year, from hundreds of thousands of dollars to $1 million. And they asked them all the same questions. Question: what do you fear? And everyone answered in different words the same thing. They fear they will not have enough money when they retire. And we all look at these six idiots and we're thinking, my God, what more do you want? You know, we'll take your leftovers that fall off of your table. You know, we'll do that for you. We'll handle it for you, you know. So you see, it works in all areas. No matter how little you have, fear will come in with that, or no matter how much. You see, the thing that changes is the God in between that changes our lives. God says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek Him first. And God will just obey Him with your money. And I'm telling you, God will make ways where it doesn't seem even possible. Possible. I know, Rita, you've told me many times, firm believer. She said, I believe in tithing like never before. She said they've never gone without, basically, even though being a single mother for many years. $2 sometimes. Hey, let me tell you, if your tithe is a penny, it doesn't matter to me. Just be faithful to Him. Faithful to Him. Just faithful to Him. Let me tell you, it does something. When you do what God says, even being a single mother, God still, even $2, that means she made $20 one week. Now, I know years ago that was more than what $20 is today. I mean, we know that. But it still costs a lot for bread and milk and all that stuff. But look what God can do. And they never went without. Never went without. Our God is the great supplier. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The roots will try to, and it could be roots of all the things of the world, all things, just trying to choke out the plant. Don't let it be choked out. Just do what God tells you to do. Take those, you know, every once in a while, take the Word of God. Take the Word of God. And let it be your roundup for your heart. Roundup, we know, spray it. You may not see the effects of it that day, but you just wait a few days where those weeds go. They're destroyed. They're destroyed. Let the Word of God weed out those areas in my heart and in your heart for the cares of this world. Let me tell you, the cares of this world will destroy you and I. It will destroy us. Now, I know we need money. We need things. Look. But don't let it be your life pursuit. That's the difference. Don't let it be, let God be your life pursuit. And in seeking Him, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It says that He will add unto us. You will find out that unknown sources of money will come your way. That God will give you a raise. That something's going to happen. You're making the same amount of money or even less. You're paying the same bills. You're doing the same thing. But you have more. You have more. That's God. See, and God wants to work in every area of our hearts. Taking out the rocks. Plowing the hard ground. Taking out the weeds so that our hearts could be fertile and pliable to Him. And not letting anything of the world or even just ourselves destroy what God is trying to do in us. And as we seek God with everything within us, He will move in our hearts and in our lives. Keep this at the forefront of your life as a Christian. Praying, reading this Word. Because you see, this is what the devil does not want the church of the living God to read God's word. Doesn't want it. Because you know why? I'll close with this. Number one, it brings life to God's people. It brings health. It brings nutrients. It brings seed. But number two, it destroys the enemy and his works. And so he will divert us from this any way he can. But take your time. I don't care if it's 10 minutes a day, but take it and say, Lord, show me something. Show me something. Plow the ground of my heart. Take out the weeds, Lord God. Take out the stones. Let the root of your word grow deep within me so that when things do rise, because we know they will rise up, the sun comes up every day, no matter if we see it or not. Trials come up every day, huh? Lord. But God's word lives forevermore and brings destruction upon the enemy. If we do these things, we will have good soil, and the seed of God's word will produce a bountiful harvest in your life. Matthew chapter 5, last verse, verse 6. Matthew 5, 6, Andrew. You have that? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. And I know this, people. You hunger for God. You might say, Pastor, how do you know that? First of all, because you're in church. Second of all, because I know you. I know the trials you go through. Some of them. You know. And I know how you seek God. You might say, Pastor, I could do a better job. We all could do a better job. But I know you love God. And I know you seek Him. And you love God. And I want to tell you something. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Keep on seeking Him. Keep on honoring Him. Keep on loving Him. And God will work in all these areas of our hearts so that we can bring glory and honor unto Him. You can stand, please. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we give you praise and we give you honor this day, Lord. We give you praise and we give you honor. As every head is bowed this morning, just for a minute, and every eye closed, you know, honestly, I don't know the condition of your heart, and really, I shouldn't know. I mean, that's not, you know, but God knows. If you would like us to pray with you, corporately, we'll pray together. Maybe I've talked about a certain area of your heart, and you're saying, Lord, I need help with that area. Maybe there are areas in your heart that are hard, and you need God to move in. Maybe there are areas in your heart where you know the roots have not grown deep and you need God to move in that area. Maybe there are areas in your heart that the weeds of life have grown and have choked out almost the things of God. If you would like us to pray with you, asking God to help us, would you please raise your hand at this moment? I see your hands back there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Let's pray this prayer together because we have people that have raised their hands and say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to work in my heart. You see those areas that are hard before you, that are thorny before you, and the weeds have taken over. But Father, I give you my life. And I accept you. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would work in me and through me this day. I ask you
to be my Lord
and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would rest upon them. Father, help them to have a great week this week, Lord God. Protect them, lead them, and guide them, and be with them. And Father, I want to thank you for setting them in this church, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look, you have a great week this week. We appreciate you guys. We thank God for you, and we love you, and you have a great week this week. Amen.